Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in them in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
That was two different passages, both from the book of Luke. Zechariah's response, that'd be John the Baptist's father, when the angel comes to Zechariah and Elizabeth and says, hey, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the prophet of the coming Messiah. And so Zechariah breaks out into prophecy in response. And then the second reading was the Magnificat, the song of Mary, when she gets her own visit from an angel and says, I know you're virgin, but change of plans. You're going to have a son. And I thought it'd be appropriate for us to read those this morning, because we're going to look at some passages that talk about Jesus as Savior. We've been looking at the different roles that Jesus fulfills when he arrives on the scene. And there's a bunch of Old Testament and New Testament passages, prophecies, that point to the importance of prophets, priests, and kings. And we've looked over the last three Sundays at how Jesus fulfilled each of those roles. Tonight we're going to finish with Jesus as Savior. And I'm very excited about it because it's the first time my granddaughter's been on stage. I don't get to meet her until March or April or something like that, but I just thought it'd be fun for them to read those passages. So we're about to jump in. We're going to be in the book of Luke, and then we're going to quickly be in the book of Matthew chapter 1. But let's pray, and then we'll get going. Lord, thank you for this evening, what it represents, a God who fulfills all things, tells us about it, then keeps his word, and then proves above and beyond how great he is, how much you care about us. And so we thank you for what we're about to look at this evening. And then, Lord, may we celebrate appropriately you, God, with us in Jesus, your Son, as Savior. And so we pray this in his name. And God's people said on Christmas Eve, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to 4:30 service, because when you come to the 4:30 service, well, then you're live. And first service was unplugged and the whole thing, but now you're in the picture. So everybody wave. There you go. All right. I'd like to have a record. So let's get jumping. We're going to be Luke chapter 2. And it's one of those famous passages in Christmas time. And it's Luke's account, and then we're going to look at a little bit of Matthew's account in just a second. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. This is important. The lineage of David means that he was from the tribe of Judah. Last Sunday, 2 days ago, we talked about Jesus fulfilling the role as king. The thing is, if you're not from the one tribe, the tribe of Judah, of the 12 tribes, then you have no right at kingship. Kingship always came down through the line of Judah. Very important, because if Joseph, his adopted father, wasn't from Judah, he couldn't be called king. Kind of fun. Well, the Sunday before that, we talked about Jesus as priest. Scott, aren't the rules the same for priesthood? Don't you have to be from one tribe? I'm pretty sure it's Levi. You would be correct. So how does a guy who's coming down through the line of Judah qualify to be priest if he's not from Levi? Great question. Here we go. Don't give it away. Here we go, let's find out. From the lineage of David, verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. This is the Mary that Grace just read the song about. She burst into song and praise because she was so excited that she was having a child, that the Lord would do this Savior thing through her. And the angel, when he announces this to her, he says, you know, don't be surprised. Your relative, Elizabeth, she is with child also. They said she was barren and could never have, and yet she's 6 months. It was her husband, Zechariah, who prophesied, and Cyrus read his prophecy of the angel that came to him when he was serving as priest. The angel said, your relative, Zechariah, is a priest. She was the tribe of Levi. So mom was Levi, dad was Judah. That's why he can fulfill both roles and then fulfilled them perfectly. Amen? So this is what's going on. Betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, verse 6, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And now we're going to look at something that was read during Victor's portion of the Advent reading. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. By the way, it's Christmas Eve, but it's also good news night and great joy night. So I want you to sprinkle that in your vocabulary in the future. Hey, what are you doing for good news night? Good news night? What's that? Christmas Eve. Oh, really? Why'd you call it that? All of a sudden, you're into the story. Okay. For all people, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Not a prophet, not a priest, not a king. The angel, well, got it directly from the source, right? Where do angels come from? God. He says, go down, say this. When the angel comes down and speaks to these shepherds, he says, I want to make sure you understand what's just arrived. Prophet, yes. Priest, yes. King, yes. More important, Savior. And we're going to see tonight, what is the culmination of those three roles in the fourth role? Right? Here we go. Who is Christ the Lord? And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem. to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went in with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. What was made known to them? What did they convey to Mary and Joseph? You're holding Savior. And all, verse 18, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. So I was noticing, I want to settle a controversy. It's not really about the Savior thing, but we sang something earlier that's a point of contention in theology, the doctrine of the gift-giving thing. You sang it tonight. The night when Christ was born, right? He's born at night. And so a lot of us, we open gifts on Christmas Eve, right? How many of you open gifts on Christmas Eve? Right? Okay, a couple of you. I want to point out to you that the Magi are the ones that show up afterwards. And they're the ones that bring the frankincense, gold, and myrrh, the gifts. That was after the birth. So probably presents should be the morning after, right? Which one is it? Both. It's both. There's good arguments for both, right? No, we don't gift shame here. Okay? more importantly, the gift of Savior has arrived. There's another passage in the book of Matthew I want us to look at, chapter 1, verses 20 and following. It's going to say about the same thing. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph. So we're not talking to the shepherds anymore. This time we're talking to Joseph, but watch, it's going to be the same message. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will. I mean, okay, so there's more of you at 4:30 than there were at 3. We don't gift shame, but we do volume shame. Okay, you got to be louder than them. Okay, I'm going to try it again. You've heard it twice. Here comes the third one. Get it this time. We ready? For he will
save.
He will save the people from their sins. Apparently both angels in both messages thought the one most important thing for them to know was that he was a Savior. That's great. You know, if the most important thing was king, what would be the message? You will be ruled over. Right? If it was priest, you're going to be dealing in perennial debt, guilt. Always coming to give sacrifice. If you got a prophet, well, what would you get? You get truth all the time, but they were pretty grumpy. Thanks for the truth, but what am I supposed to do with it? I need an action plan. When a Savior shows up, he shows up with solutions. And that's why the angel says to Joseph, hey, don't worry about this. Because even the scenario you think you're in, it's going to be okay because we have a God that saves. All this, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in both passages, we're meant to understand probably the two most primary passages about Christmas. We're meant to understand Savior's the one thing they wanted us to hear. You know what that points us to? There's this other holiday. I'm not really sure what it might be about. Anybody got any ideas? It's drawn attention to Easter. I hope you figured out that Christmas it's kind of impotent without Easter. And Easter's no fun without Christmas. It's meant to be a combo meal, right? You understand combo meals. Yeah? I mean, tonight, when you have dinner with your family, right? Is there just going to be protein? No, you need some other stuff, right? By the way, who's cooking? Anybody cooking tonight? I'm so sorry. I got out of the deal this year. I've cooked in the past. We're meant to understand the joy of Christmas is that we get Easter. And the value of Easter, what validates Easter, gives it integrity, is who arrived on Christmas. The fulfillment of all the different prophecies and things like that. And that's why we should cry out loud, even if it's in church. Amen? Love kids. They're just the best. Here's what I want you to see, because we have to make sure we celebrate tonight. So we're going to get through the sermon. We're going to do some more singing. We're going to light some candles. Then we're going to go celebrate. But I want to make sure we understand what we're celebrating in Jesus as Savior. Number one, as Savior, Jesus defines, solves, and forgives sin. Jesus shows up on the scene. And you know, Israel, for all generations, was trying to figure out what are the rules. They got the Ten Commandments. And you know, they wrote books afterwards of all the other things they added to the Ten Commandments to try and figure out how do we follow God. Did they ever get it right? No. God had to show up on the scene and say, hey, look, sin is just when you cross me, when you do things that hurt other people, when you go against my will, when you avoid me, ignore me. I'm the creator of all things. I define reality. I can help you. I can hurt you. You see, he deals in truth when he shows up on the scene as a prophet. This is how life works. This is how your body works. This is how time works. This is how money works. This is how relationships work. It's meant to fail outside of me. And the sooner we figure that out, the sooner we get to clear definitions of what right and wrong is. That's the funniest thing. You ask people, does God exist? And you get a bunch of different answers. You ask them if the devil exists, if evil exists, what's their answer? Yes. We can recognize bad, negative, evil right away. You ask somebody, define good. Well, my dad said, you know, we start making stuff up. We can't figure it out outside of God. We need somebody to define it for us. And then when we understand how reality works, I need some solutions. That's why we need a Savior. And then when I mess it up, Mom, I cut the part 6 inches shorter than I was supposed to. It's titanium and it's 12 feet long. What do I do? Real life scenario when I was a kid. We need somebody to get us out of it. Not just solve it, but how do we get forgiveness? We love that we have an all-powerful God who is ever-present and knows all things. Problem is, nothing gets missed. If nothing gets missed, I know myself. And when I'm honest in those quiet moments when no one's around or when I'm looking in the mirror, I know I fail. I know I have all kinds of holes and I miss a lot of things. And I know what I need. I need a spiritual father who will show up on the scene and say, yeah, you fell short. But that's why we're in relationship. Your role is to be mine. My role is to save. Get with that and we'll be good. Now, you know that he says, let's go have some fun after that? You know, after he defines, solves, and forgives sins, you know what he says? I came that you might have life and might have it to the fullest. Start playing the game the way I've designed it. You might enjoy yourself. And by the way, take might out of the sentence. You will enjoy yourself. Right? That's number one. Number two, Jesus gives the gifts of truth, freedom, and direction. What do you get in a prophet? You get truth. What do you get from a priest? You get freedom, free access to God. You also get freedom from your sin, freedom from consequences. What do you get in a king? I know it's up there already, right? Kings tell you what to do. Now, bad king, that's not good. I'm going to tell you go to war or do this or do that or give them all your money. What if you had a perfect king with morals and ethics, pure? He says, you know, I want you to do this. I want you to avoid that. That's true direction. And the way I like to say it, because I think it's found in Scripture, we get clarity on reality. And I've never found any other place that could provide that. The politicians have fallen short. Amen? All right, let's move on from that topic. All right, I want real truth, real freedom, and real direction, and Jesus gives that. That's part of what he provides for us as a Savior. And then lastly, he also, Jesus does this with us. I love that the guy who defines it, solves it, provides all those things, actually decides to come on the scene. And I've said it at church before, but if you had not been here and haven't heard me say it, let me say it again. In the garden, the moment they make their first mistake, then the very next passage is, I heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He shows up on the scene. Jacob's trying to figure out how life's supposed to work. He's got his older brother twin coming after him, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a spouse, and he's not sure if he has a future or anything, and he prays to God, and God shows up on the scene and wrestles with him. It says, you've striven with God. We're going to change your name from Jacob to strives with God or wrestles with God. That's what Israel actually means. I love the idea that he wants to be with us. There's no other religion on the planet where the deity is claimed to have made so many attempts to write to us, to spend time with us, to come with us, to die for us. There's a with thing that he does. What do you think the message he's supposed to get, he's supposed to be giving, and we're supposed to be getting? You might say it with just one word. With. I want you this Christmas, I suggest you enjoy that you have a Savior and God. My challenge to you is figure out how you do with. If he's making such an effort to do with you, how can you reciprocate that? Reciprocate, that's like a really big word. What does that mean? How do you pay him back? How do you meet him halfway when he tries to come to you? Do you pray? Do you have a spiritual leader? Do you have a house of worship? Do you read anything? Do you sing any of these songs when James or Howard aren't leading them for you? What are the ways that you can try and find him and people that do? He's gone to every length in every generation to give us prophets, to show how priesthood works, to actually try to stop kingship. He said, you don't want a king. They said, no, we have to have a king. Everybody else has a king. I want one too. And God literally says, you don't need a king. You have me. But because you demand a king, I'll give you a king. It won't go well. And you're going to end up wanting me as king. And so I'm going to come back as king. And then I'm going to save you. Merry Christmas. That's what it means, folks. How do you do with? Because he's dying to do with you. You see what I did there, the pun, the Easter? He's dying to do with you. Right? Amen? If you don't have a house of worship, you don't have a place that you do that kind of thing, I know some of you visiting in your town, find that place. You need a suggestion, connect with me. I'll try to find you a place in that place. If this is your town, come be with us. If you have another place you'd like to try, this one's a little bit weird for you because the pastor's a little off, go to that place. You just went to church on Christmas and the pastor told you to go somewhere else. How weird is that? Understand what I mean. Our job is to help you do with and let us know. If you've never started that relationship, that's why he went to all those lengths. Connect with us. Connect with me. Somebody on staff will help you. Amen? Lord, we thank you for tonight and what it represents. Again, the things that we get to sing, the things that we get to know from your word, the way your spirit continues to lead us, the truth, the freedom, the direction, the deliverance that you give us. Lord, we thank you for all of that. We praise you this evening. Help us to celebrate in appropriate ways as we leave this place and always remember you as God. and the great efforts that you go to be with us. Pray for those who are making that decision for the first time, Lord. Support them, give them the confidence to approach us. And then we thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. Pray that you would bless it and use it as you see fit. We pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All sing
I was looking at a theological work, and it was stated in there that we should treat every day like Christmas. And I thought that's brilliant. I wish more people thought like Buddy the Elf. May you treat every day like Christmas with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Go with Him. Merry Christmas. Be nice to your relatives. On your way out, if you could put the candles in the basket on the wine barrel.